Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 4th of March, Anno Domini 2017, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. If I can get my headphones on, there we are, look at me. By popularizing video watching over the internet, YouTube, which Google bought in 2006, about a year after it started the ball rolling on so-called cord cutting, the practice of consumers abandoning cable and satellite television subscriptions for web-based video services. YouTube's latest move, announced Tuesday, highlights how far this has come, as well as the challenges in trying to replace cable and satellite TV. YouTube said it plans to introduce a new subscription service called YouTube TV in the next few months, offering more than 40 channels, including all four major networks, Disney Channel, FX, ESPN, for $35 a month. $35 a month. The subscription includes the ability to store an unlimited number of programs on a cloud-based digital video recorder for up to 6 accounts. It sounds pretty amazing. Once vilified by media companies as a magnet for pirated video, YouTube is now embraced by Hollywood and other content creators. Almost every movie trailer or music video is released onto YouTube. All major sports leagues upload highlights there, and networks supplement traditional programming with videos that can be shared, like the talk show host James Corden's Carpool Karaoke series. YouTube did not announce a specific start date and said that it would roll out the service first in markets where it had secured rights from local affiliates. It also did not identify those markets. And YouTube is missing some popular channels like HBO, CNN, TBS, TNT, Viacom's Comedy Central, MTV, the Script Networks, Interactive's HGTV, the Food Network. YouTube's incomplete lineup demonstrates how difficult it is to offer customers what they want in a TV service while undercutting the prices offered by cable and satellite companies. One advantage for YouTube is that it already is a place where many young consumers who have never paid for a cable or satellite TV subscription get their content. On Monday, YouTube announced in a blog post that its viewers were watching more than 1 billion, that's billion with a B, hours of video a day. The huge audience flocking to YouTube makes the service one of the most valuable properties of Google's parent company, Alphabet. While Alphabet does not disclose YouTube's revenues or earnings, the potential to turn that audience into dollars through advertising or subscriptions represents a major opportunity. YouTube has also started offering an advertising-free subscription version, YouTube Red, that also includes access to the company's original programming, mainly programs and movies from the service's internet-famous stars. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is YouTube is going to offer a TV bundle for $35 a month. Your choices are, I can't wait, sounds pretty interesting, I can't give up my cable, and I'll keep waiting for Apple TV. So far we have 23 votes. Sounds pretty interesting is far ahead with 65% of the votes. But of course I know you'll have more to say, so if you scroll down on the right, under Fascinating Stuff, the first link there is the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. And so far, at least the first item under poll discussion is for March 17, YouTube is going to offer a TV bundle for $35 a month. We already have 4 posts, 3 people who've spoken, and we would love to have you join us there. As well as, of course, on the air. You can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, it's interesting that we're seeing more internet-based companies starting to do this. We've had Sling TV for a while. And a lot of the networks have their own streaming package. CBS is starting their own streaming-only service. So far, the rumors of the new Star Trek series will only be on streaming only. So it's nice to see these packages. What I find ironic is that for years, we've been complaining about our cable bills and how there's channels we don't want, and can we have a la carte channels? Now we kind of do have a la carte channels, but when you subscribe to all the channels you want, it costs more than your bundle used to.
Right.
Which is what the cable company has been saying all along. Maybe they were right. I can't believe that.
Hey!
Yeah. But, so now, you know, being able to get the most common stations in YouTube TV, Sling TV is about the same price. And we're starting to see this now, and the breaking in the monopoly of the cable company, which is pretty cool.
Right.
For consumers.
One of the things that I really like is you can have up to 6 people on your account.
With their own settings and their own infinite DVR.
Right.
You can record as many channels as you want and for as much storage as you want.
Now, I did hear one person say that the DVR stuff is a little weird because you can't fast forward through commercials and it'll have more commercials. And if it appears under on demand, you won't be able to have it in your DVR anymore. But that was
as long
one...
as it's not the same stupid commercial over and over again.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like on demand often is now.
Right. But that was one. I've only seen or heard that in one place. So I'm not sure quite what that all means. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you that everybody is looking to cut the cord, and some people have already done it.
Yeah, like me.
Like you.
Matter of fact, I was looking into right now checking out, regular Cat 5 cable is great for running through the house. But I got a situation where it's the shortest distance of where my TV is to go out through the wall, straight down outside, back into the house because the router is right there. I can plug it right in to my modem, the TV.
Yep.
So I'm looking into getting a Cat 5 for outdoors.
Right.
And I've got some of that coming.
You ought to look at Cat 6. I mean, it's faster and blah, 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 blah,
you
blah.
Know, funny you should mention it. I think this is what it is.
Good.
I ordered it, and I got it coming. And I say, go out through the wall, downstairs, right back in. And it's maybe, the distance from one floor to the other.
10 feet, 12 feet.
Yeah, maybe. So this is going to be maybe 25 foot altogether.
Yeah, right. If that.
Yeah, to go back in, plug it directly right into the modem, and boom. Because right now, the connection's okay upstairs wirelessly.
Right.
But it performs a lot better when it's hooked up.
Well, in addition, it's going to be faster if you've got, depends on the speed of your internet connection, but...
If I had green light,
I
know it, but
you
were thinking.
Of course, I was.
I know him too well. We've been together 27
yeah,
years.
I know.
So if I happened to have green light instead,
yes.
Exactly. This would not be an issue.
That's exactly right.
But I don't have green light like some individual in this room.
I am sorry.
Yeah. No, you're not.
Camp out of my living room.
No,
you
not.
Two can have cat hairs everywhere.
I'll bring
some of mine.
Yeah, and I'll just bring dog hair.
Yeah, right.
In my Western.
Right.
Sure.
But one of the of course, now everybody's saying, well, this is a black eye to Apple. They've had Apple TV for about 100 years and nothing like this.
The theory is that Apple has been trying to do this with the broadcast channels, and the networks are not letting them do it because they're afraid of what happened in the music world.
Exactly.
Apple has too much power in the music world,
right?
And so they didn't want that to happen in the TV world. Which,
that's exactly right.
Which now there's so many TV alternatives, I could see that maybe they will do it with Apple.
And going back to Sling right now, they offer 3 different packages.
Right.
Well, actually more. They've got 3 different packages you can get. Either the orange, the blue, there's 3 different colors.
Yeah.
And one is, all of them together, or this package or that package. And then from that, you can add on others. If I wanted to add on HBO, that's another. But right now, I'm getting all the channels that I want for $30 a month.
Right.
And my other bill was going to be $95.
Right. The big thing really for YouTube is that DVR business.
Yeah.
And devil's in the details, and we'll see what
Yeah.
You know, what really happens.
Well, and you almost don't need a DVR if everything is on demand. I don't need to record, you know, this show at this time if I can just go back and watch that show whenever I want.
Yeah, but now Amazon supposedly this spring is coming out with a package they claim is going to surpass Sling.
That's what they're saying, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And we'll see what it costs.
Yeah.
And if there's a discount for being a Prime member and blah, 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 blah. But everybody's fighting for those TV dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants you to quit cable and go get TV dollars. The problem is most of the cable companies across the country, not singling out anybody, but most of them, still are living on the old model of we need so many dollars per month from people, and the way we get it is to raise our prices.
Yeah.
And it's a problem for them. They don't have the outlets that people like Amazon do, and nobody's got an outlet like Google.
Yeah. Well, like I say, that's...
You know, people are watching a billion hours a day. That is a television network.
But for me, you know...
I wish there were more day hours in the day, though.
I know.
For them to, you know...
For me, there almost are.
Yeah. When they check me up 10 more bucks, and they wouldn't cut any more deals, you know, because usually you can go back to them and say... And they go, no, sorry... So it's again. What you were saying was true that they're fighting for every darn dollar that they can get,
right?
Because they didn't want to cut me a deal. You've already had these three deals. That's the best we can do,
right? So instead of losing $10 a month, they lost $170 a month or whatever you were paying.
I was paying $85 originally. They wanted me to go up to $95, and that was just for. Right. TV.
So
I don't have my internet with them. They go, well, you can get your phone and, you know, we can give you a phone and TV. I don't want a phone.
Well, we've had customers actually do that because the triple play service is cheaper and just ignore the phone they give you.
Right. Right.
No.
But see,
just another place for telemarketers to call you at. Just ignore
it. Yeah.
they wanted me to do the triple play as well. I said, look, I don't want the home phone.
Right.
I'm getting internet that's much faster and cheaper than you could sell it to me. So you're asking me to pay more to really get less.
Less, yeah.
No.
It's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. Yeah. So, yeah. And because we do indeed have green light, sorry. We could make more use of any one of those bundles. And everything would be just as fast and just as clean and just as easy. You know, I don't wait to watch Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see the little spinny thing as it loads up. It says 1, 2, 3, 89, and it starts to play.
Hike!
You basically, yes. Yes.
You just hit it, it goes.
And it goes. So, you know, that would be much the same. The delay is the other end.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you know Google, they can just throw more hardware at it.
Oh, yeah, they have the
problem for them.
And I wonder if Netflix has a colo here in Rochester. One of the things that Netflix had to do to make things run faster like that is they basically replicate the entire Netflix library inside each major ISP.
Right.
And so then your stream doesn't have to come from California, it's coming from downtown.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how quickly you get what you watch depends on what you watch. The more common things may already be in their huge cache,
mm-hmm,
so they start pretty quick. People like me who watch all the weird stuff, it takes us a while to get started.
Yep.
Yeah.
So someone is probably already watching
the cable
that thing you want to watch.
Could you give me a Kleenex?
Oh.
Thanks.
No, I mean, the cable companies best be quite afraid because right now everybody is relooking, you know, over the, you know, cutting the cable.
Yep.
Because before, and I know we had this discussion, it had to be about 2-3 years ago that we were sitting there saying, all right, if I add up all these different packages, it wound up being as much as my cable bill. And it's like, yeah, no, it's not worth it.
Yep. But it's very weird and very confusing right now. But we'll get there. Listen, we got to take a quick break. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. We will get to you absolutely when we come back. with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 19 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we have the very patient Mario from Chi Lai, New York on the line. Hiya, Mario. What's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm having a problem playing a DVD movie on my Windows 10 laptop. I don't know what happened, but I put the DVD in, and I hear all these noises. And when I looked, it said it had a file like a .ts. I don't know anything about this stuff, so I was wondering if you could help me out.
All right, go ahead.
I would say, what DVD player software are you trying to use?
Well, I don't even know, you know. That's probably your problem.
Yeah, that's probably the problem, because I use the VLC.
You need to install a player for that DVD.
Yeah, VLC. If you do a Google search for VLC.
VLC?
Yes, it's a great video player, music player. It'll run everything. And it's compatible with Windows 10 instead of getting into Windows 10 and using their playlist and all this other stuff.
Right.
Just download and install VLC. VLC will put an icon in your desktop that looks like a little traffic cone.
Okay.
And you just use that to play your DVD. You start the program up, say, yeah, go to the DVD, and there you will be.
Okay, now, but how do I make it default to this VLC?
Normally, when you're installing the software, it will ask you, "Do you want this to be your default?"
Oh, okay.
And just take the
now
time.
Now, what that means is be careful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Read every screen and decide what you want to answer on that screen before you say next.
Okay.
Right, okay. And one more question, gentlemen, along the same lines: is there a way to cast my pictures, you know, from my computer on the laptop? Now, if I go to Google Chrome, I can cast, but is there any way to cast your photos onto a smart TV?
You mean from inside Windows?
Yes.
You need some sort of casting hardware on the TV, the Google Chromecast, the Roku, the Apple TV.
Right, I have the Chromecast on already, but there's no option. When I go to my pictures, I'm not in Google. So how do I cast? That's my question.
Oh, you want to mirror the entire screen, yeah.
Right, I just want to mirror the screen. Like
That's built into the Apple TV. We're looking
there
for
should
Chromecast.
Be a connect. There should be.
Okay. We're frantically Googling.
You set it up under Chrome, which you've already done.
Right.
Okay. So now to cast your laptop, your desktop rather.
Right.
You click that same cast button. All right.
Right, but there's no cast button there.
Well, you will find it, you know, those three little dots in the upper right corner.
You have to be in Google Chrome first.
Yeah, you start Google follow me along. You start Google Chrome.
Okay.
You use the cast button in the Google Chrome toolbar, or you have to hit that little those three dots, and you'll find cast in the drop-down menu.
Right. Yep. Okay.
And then under cast 2, it'll say, who do you want to cast to? And it'll show you your cast devices.
Right.
But up at the top in that blue area,
right,
next to cast 2, there's a down arrow.
Okay.
If you click that, you can change your source to cast desktop.
Okay.
So instead of casting the Chrome window, web page window, you can cast your desktop.
Okay.
And then the next step, of course, is to select the device just like you normally would.
Right. Well, thank you so much for your help, gentlemen. You're very helpful. Yep.
There you go. Good luck. Have fun.
Thank you. Bye.
The alternative way to do that is run a cable between your computer and your television.
Right.
But nobody likes to do that.
And just remember us next time at pledge time.
That's right. Coming right up. That's exactly right.
So that's one of the more popular features of the set-top boxes like Chromecast and Apple TV and Roku, is that the stuff you have on your computer or your phone, you can show on the big screen. And so we joke about men used to have, wallets filled with, fold-out pictures of the family. You can only fit 20 or 30 of them in your wallet. So now when people come over to your house, you can cast it up to your big screen TV and force them to watch hundreds of pictures of the family.
Or you can just have them running in a slideshow in the background through the whole day.
Yep.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Chuck from Penfield, New York. What's up, Chuck?
Hello, gentlemen. Let me explain what happened. This morning I was running a backup, and it was taking forever. And I said, somebody's hung here. So I went down and looked, and it showed me the path to where it was folder was trying to back up to. I shut the backup off and went in and started looking, and what it was trying to back up is a folder called Application Data that's under each user profile. And if I look under each user profile, there's a folder called Application Data, and there's also another one under Local Settings called Application Data.
Right.
And I started following that, and I found that under the Local Settings Application Data was another folder called Application Data, which had a whole list of folders within it, one of them being Application Data. And I followed this in about 20 levels.
Infinite nesting.
Yeah, and I'm going, this isn't right. I was tempted to just blow the whole thing away down below that first level. Then I got to thinking, well, wait a minute. If the registry and all these applications are looking for something somewhere nested down in there, and then they're not going to find it, and now the whole world's just going to all fall apart. So I thought I'd make a call before I started messing with stuff.
The biggest thing in that application data folder is usually your email files.
Okay.
And so usually you do want to back that up.
All right. Yep.
It shouldn't be infinitely nested like that, though.
Yeah, that's absolutely not. It should be one application data and all the information in it, but application data should not be one of the folders within that. And that's what's going down. My next step is to, through the week, I upgraded a disk drive and I cloned a drive and it got screwed up a couple times. I had to do this a couple times to get it right. Something may have happened in there. I'm tempted to go back to last week's. I usually back up on Saturday mornings. If you go back to last week's backup and see if I can find any nesting in that. Would you agree with me, though, that if I try to just blow that away down below that first level, I'm risking something in the registry or something that these apps might know about? That
most definitely.
Going to get me into trouble? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are you in Windows 7 or 10?
Windows 7 Ultimate.
Oh, yeah. This is a known problem with Windows. 7 does it, 10 does it, probably XP does it, probably 95 does it, probably Windows 3.1 does it.
This is the thing I've always said is as far as backing up in that, you always put, just back up your documents, pictures.
Well, that folder is under users.
Yeah, but no.
I back up my documents. I have two disk drives. One has all my user data, and the other one has the system. But within the system, I like to back up stuff under application data because that.
No, you shouldn't.
Well, okay.
The only reason I say that, this is my personal opinion, because if something gets mucked up in that machine, which 10 to 1 odds is an indication that you need to do a clean install.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, otherwise, you're going to spend so many hours trying to chase your tail, finding that issue.
Yeah.
And backing it up, you're just,
Do you know what causes it? What the root cause is?
It's bad code from Microsoft, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. So managed my backups or anything.
Which one is it? Microsoft?
Microsoft.
Microsoft. It's probably Lenovo or maybe, who knows, Osborne. What Microsoft recommends is that you do not delete that folder.
Yeah.
What's likely happening, and you have to look closely to see this, is those are not actual folders. They're links back to the original folder.
Right, right. Yep, I noticed that.
Right. So what Microsoft says, and believe me, this does not make sense, but apparently it works. You do not delete them, but you set the access to deny everybody. Now, what's the difference between deleting them and denying access to everybody? I don't know, but apparently Microsoft does.
Oh, geez. So if I look at that application folder...
Well, you want the first level, of course.
Right, yeah.
But from the second level down, deny access to everybody.
If I look at properties and where do I go to? Security, maybe?
Yeah.
See, here's the other issue, though. You're also running an operating system that's, you know...
But this is going to grow forever, then.
Well, not once you deny access.
Okay.
Then it can't make any new ones.
All right.
Right. How is this different from deleting the stuff? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But the good news is if it does cause a screw up, then you can just change that back. I guess that's the big thing.
Okay.
That's reversible. Deleting it is not.
Yeah, but okay. Still, no, he's still running the issue that this operating system is three generations old.
Yeah.
It doesn't support, you know, it's not supported anymore. And it's...
Windows 7 isn't supported? I thought Windows 7 was still supported.
No.
It is supported if you are paying Microsoft thousands of dollars a month to do so. Are you?
Oh, fat chance.
No, then no. It is not supported for you.
That's why I made the blanket statement. So you are susceptible, especially, you know, any of your information and everything else can be exploited.
Yeah.
By the right, you know, spyware or malware. They could get in there and steal your information because Microsoft isn't patching any more holes in that one. And that's got as many holes as Swiss cheese.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, you know, yeah, you can go ahead and do all this stuff, but you know what?
I tried Windows 10, and I had trouble with it, and I got to the point where it's like, guys, I'm not your beta site here. And
right.
I turned around and went back to 7.
Well, see, here's the other issue. I just had a system this past week I had been battling with for over 2 weeks trying to get some software installed. And it turns out, after many hours of frustration back and forth with tech support and everything else, I did a little more and deeper investigation on myself and went in and looked at the manufacturer for that particular laptop, and they clearly state they do not recommend Windows 10 for that particular model. So no matter what we were going to do, there was no way, you know, that it was ever going to run Windows 10 correctly and some software. In this case, the software that he wanted to run.
Yeah.
And it's by model, by the way. So you might look up and say, oh, I have a Toshiba satellite. You look it up and says, Toshiba satellites are fine. Not every model.
Right. You got to look it up because, yes, he got Windows 10 on it and it loaded. Because they say you can see if you want to run Windows 10 on it. But
it didn't run properly.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is the third one I've run into. That certain models now won't, you know, they'll put it on it.
Still at Windows 7.
Yeah, they'll, you know.
Part of the reason.
Windows 10 will go on, but it won't run correctly.
Yeah. So anyway, back to my original, basically it's block everybody, set the priorities or whatever you want to call it, block any access to those lower level application data folders. If that doesn't work, then I'm doomed. And have to reload the whole world again.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm so sorry.
Yep. All righty. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Bye.
We're going to be running up against that more and more as Windows 7 gets older and older, and as people don't buy new laptops. And believe me, I understand not just running out and buying a new laptop. I get that. But the fact is that your old operating system isn't going to cut it anymore. And the hardware is not going to be able to run the new operating system or the new software. And at some point, you got to fish or cut bait. I suggest a Chromebook. But that, of course, depends on everybody's preferences for those sorts of things. But I'll tell you what, I'll say it again. The price of poker keeps going up, and there's not much you can do about that. We're going to take another quick break. We will be back in just a couple of minutes. With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Again, if you're on the line, please stay on the line. And we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites on the truly great and truly grateful to be member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And Steve, wanted to remind everybody about the stream.
Yeah, the live YouTube video stream is up and running, but unfortunately YouTube doesn't tell you that anymore. I don't know why.
At least with this piece of software.
Yeah, well, it's YouTube itself. It used to go live immediately. So if you go to the Soundbites website, at the very top of the page, the first post is YouTube live stream link. I can't talk either today. And that will take you to the live stream page, so you can watch the live stream. It does look like that URL changes every time I start the video manager, so we'll update that link every week.
And I will try to remember to also to tweet it.
Yeah. And then
if you're following Soundbites at sound_bites, that's bites with a Y, you will follow us and we'll put that link up.
Yep. And after the fact, the show just shows up in our playlists as a recorded show, but it's not saying, Soundbites is streaming live now, like it did the first couple of weeks using YouTube streaming. It doesn't make any if anyone from Google is listening.
Yeah, right.
How can we get it to say we're streaming live now? Even to subscribers, it doesn't say that we're streaming live.
I don't know.
And the
why.
Show doesn't show up until after the streaming stops, and then it shows up as a show later. Yep. So you have to go to that straight URL yourself.
Who knows? Who knows? All right, we are talking to Matt from Buffalo, New York. Hi, Matt. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
It's all good. How are you?
Pretty good. I just want to encourage everybody. I traded in my modem back to Time Warner Cable. They were charging me $10 lease fee plus $5. It was like a $15 a month charge, all right, just to have the cable modem. And I did the research, and I looked up online, and there's a whole list of good modems you could buy. And you could save yourself a lot of money if you buy your own modem rather than, keep theirs.
Yep.
And that's what I wanted to say.
And many times the modem you buy yourself will operate a lot faster than whatever the Time Warner guy pulled out of his van.
What you want to use is a DOCSIS 3 modem, DOCSIS 3. And I think most of what you buy these days is 3.0, but I think
3.1
is available, or it will be.
One of the tricks, and I'm going to post the link, is that you need to use a Time Warner approved cable modem.
Right.
Otherwise, they'll claim it won't work. And I'm going to post the link of the approved modems, which is pretty much all of the cable modems that are out now. Zoom and Aeris are the two most popular brands, and their boxes even have a Time Warner logo on them because they know that's what people are using them for.
Right.
Well, I got a Netgear.
Yeah, they make nice products.
Yeah, it's really good, and it was nice to take it back and say, I'm switching mine in, and I'm keeping this one, and people could save themselves a lot of money, when they do the research.
Yep. All right, excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Appreciate it. That's a good tip from Matt. A lot of people are paying $10 a month for a modem.
And plus $5 a month if you have their Wi-Fi.
Right. And so if you replace all that with your own modem, now make sure it does everything you want it to do. There are some cable-only modems, then some cable and Wi-Fi modems, and cable and Wi-Fi and phone modems. So make sure you get the one you need.
We generally put on my Mac Ev hat for a minute. We generally recommend you separate your cable modem and your wireless router. The cable modem standards don't change very fast,
right,
but the wireless standards do. You'll probably replace your wireless router much more frequently than you do your cable modem.
Right.
So having two separate boxes makes them a little easier to change separately.
I want to replace it with a Greenlight one.
I know you do. You're still going to need a router of your own.
Yeah.
The Greenlight box is like this big, and it only has one connection on it.
And you plug it
into your own modem. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to have something that's super fast, of course. You want to have something that does at least 100 megabits.
Well, I can get my other half to agree with that.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
anytime,
I bet you could.
Anytime, you can go faster. Well, as you know, it's my past history.
Right.
I've always been able to say, well, if we do this... this will go down, just like back with Lori when She came to me and said, oh, the phone bill's more than the mortgage payment.
Yeah.
Something's got to give. Okay, honey, we'll just get a faster modem.
Yeah, there you go.
It worked.
It worked. And it certainly got me up early the next morning.
Dave forgot to go to bed again.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I got the call.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Paul from Brighton, New York. What's up, Paul?
Yeah, hi. I guess I've been battling some malware problems for a long time now. Right. What I have found is I went into the Windows System 32 drivers, etc. Folder. There should be a host file there, and there is not. And
it's not under Windows System 32. It's under Windows System 32
drivers
etc.
That's what I said. Yeah.
And not every machine has a hosts file.
Okay. Well, I'm working. My problem is on my laptop. My desktop system, you know, has the host file, so I was comparing it to that.
Right.
And so the problem is I've got malware. I run malware bytes that occasionally flags that I have this Trojan. I called in about it last week. And I'm trying to avoid going to a reputable dealer, as you suggested.
Right.
I'm trying to save some money here.
Right.
So you're saying I would not necessarily have a host file on my system?
Right, and generally you don't need a host file on your system.
Right, not every system has a host file. And it depends on 100 million factors as to whether or not you have one and what it's in it and blah, 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 blah. Basically, for everybody else, what the host system is, look, there's a system called DNS, Domain Name Services.
The Internet Phone Book.
It's the Internet Phone Book. Basically, when you type in soundbites.org, your computer doesn't have any idea what to do with that because it only understands numbers. So what it does, it goes out to a domain name server and says, hey, I have the name soundbites.org. Where is that? And Nick sends back and says, oh, that's at 50 dot whatever it is. And so then you can then go to that spot.
Yeah, an IP address.
Right, it's an IP address. Yeah. Now, one of the things you can do is if you have a host file, it will look there first. And in fact, one of the pranks we used to pull on people is to a host file contains is an IP address, a blank, which is either a space or a tab, and then a domain name. So if you were to type in, for example, you know, whatever it is, google.com, when you type in google.com, it looks in there first and then goes to that site and brings up google.com. So one of the pranks we used to pull on people is to create a host file for them that had all the wrong URLs compared to their IP addresses, which would screw people up. But many machines don't have host files at all. And you can edit the host file. You can put what you want in the host file.
So would it pay for me to copy or create a host file for this system?
Well, I don't necessarily know that it's going to solve a problem for you.
What could be happening, and probably isn't in your case, is the malware software creates a host file and changes Google.com to be malicious website and changes Facebook.com to be malicious website. And so your computer looks in the host file first when you type Google.com and goes to the malicious site. So the fact that you don't have a host file is good because that means the malicious software didn't do that.
Right. The system does run terribly slowly sometimes unless I keep reboot it. And then
Check your activity monitor and see what processors are running and if there's some process using most of the CPU when you're not using it.
Right. And in addition, of course, a couple of things. First, the host file only helps with resolving domain names. So if what you see is a lot, and I mean a lot, of resolving host file down in the corner or looking up, depending on what browser you're using, down in the corner when you go to a website, then a host file can help with that. But that's the only thing it can help with. So if your machine is slow for another reason, or if indeed your machine is slow when you're not on the internet, that's not what it is. I mean, when you're not using a web browser. The only thing that it speeds up is a web browser looking up addresses.
And sometimes the DNS server that you put into your computer, almost everyone uses their ISP's DNS server.
Right.
there are faster DNS servers that you that might work even better. Google's is 8.8.8.8.
And 8.8.4.4.
Easy to remember. GRC has a DNS benchmark program where it will look at different DNS servers around the internet and see which one might be faster for you to use. But as Nick said, if that's not the reason your computer is slow, then it wouldn't help you any.
Okay, well, the search is going to continue then.
Yeah, yeah. Check in your in the what are they called? It's not the Activity Monitor, is the Mac. What is it? Task Manager.
Task Manager.
In Windows.
Yeah. Task Manager.
Right, and that will show you all the processes. Make sure you're set to all processes, not just my processes. Okay. And that will tell you if something is eating up your CPU power, preventing you from doing what you want to do when you want to do it.
All right. Thanks.
Sure.
All right. Good luck. Yeah,
that's always tricky. My computer's running slow. Okay. Well, your hard drive is full. How's that? Okay, that's a problem.
Right. Yeah. But people don't know, and it's hard to give it any particular reason. But you have to know what things do. And the DNS is strictly for looking up that that name and associating it with an IP address.
And that can make web pages load slower. Because many web pages have hundreds of DNS lookups to get the ads and the pictures and the articles and whatnot. And so if you happen to be using a DNS server that's slow, loading a web page could be slow. But it wouldn't affect the rest of the computer. It would only affect loading web pages.
Right.
And in fact, every now and then there's a DNS attack. Is that what happened with Amazon S3 the other day? No, they took off their servers accidentally.
Yeah, they fumbled-fingered
a command.
A command, and they screwed it up.
But every now and then, there's an attack on a DNS server where it takes out half of the most popular internet websites because they're all using that DNS. And so if you can make that DNS server run really slow, then people can't get to websites.
Right. Well, and very, very many people are using Google's now. All right, back to the phones. We got a few minutes left. We can talk to Sherry from Chi-Lai, New York. What's up, Sherry?
Hi. My question is about a Chromebook. I was thinking about buying one.
Yeah.
But I play Pogo games, and when I'm playing them now on my notebook, I can't play them in Chrome.
Right.
So is that going to hurt me on a Chromebook?
Yes, yes. Pogo games still use Flash. Flash is a horrible, horrible product. The problem is that Adobe just it.
Yeah,
they have. I can't say anything polite about it because I'm on the radio.
Some of their
can't use the language I want to use.
Some of their games have shifted to Java,
which is just as bad.
Which is just as bad, but yeah,
right. The problem becomes the fact that Chromebooks don't use Flash because Flash is so ridden with holes.
Antiquated.
And security problems, and it's just ancient. Adobe can't fix it fast enough, and so they have banned it, essentially. And so Chromebooks will not, cannot, and never have run Flash. So unfortunately, if you mostly spend your time on things like Pogo games, you cannot use a Chromebook. I'm sorry.
Unless you find a different gaming website to play.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't come up with any close to Pogo, so, oh well.
Right.
All right.
Well, one of the big things we've seen is instead of going to a website to play games, you go to the Chrome store and download the game for free. And so you can play Bridge and Euchre and all the different card games.
Yep.
You're just not on a website. You're in an app.
Right. Well.
And very shortly, the Chromebook will be able to run any Android app. You know, if you get one of the newer Chromebooks, they will any app that you're running on your phone or tablet, Android-wise, will be able to run on the Chromebook.
Right. When is that coming out?
It's not yet. As a matter of fact, Nick and I were trying to play with. I brought my Chromebook in because I just updated to the latest version 5.7, and I thought maybe I was losing it. And him and I were both looking at it, and it's not out yet. They did say March, April time frame, though. I do believe, when I saw it last year.
And also, do Chromebooks have a touchscreen?
Some of them do, yes. Not all of them. But nowadays, you can definitely buy Chromebooks with touchscreens. You can also buy them that the screen will fold all the way around on the back and become a tablet.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Right. Those are just starting to come out. I'd say be patient for another couple of weeks before we see the ones that should be coming out in mid-March, end of March, beginning of April.
Oh, okay. Great.
And yep. There's a website called Gamehouse that has a lot of online games as well, which I found an article listing the 16 best alternatives to Pogo.
Gamehouse?
Yep.
All right.
Gamehouse.com?
Gamehouse.com and BigFishGames.com. I'll post
both
this
of
link. Yep.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. We are going to take a slightly longer break. You have wasted an entire hour of your life with this nonsense, but we're going to do another hour of it. So don't go anywhere. Well, you could hit the refrigerator or wherever you hit during the longer break. And we'll be back in just a few minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. It is Soundbites. It is the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester.
A public service of the Greece Central School District.
Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMCJazz901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Mark from Greece on the line. Hiya, Mark. What's up?
Good afternoon. I got a question and a possible solution for somebody.
Oh, good.
Possible solution. A gentleman that wanted to cast pictures to his TV.
Yeah.
If he's got a Chromecast and he uploads his pictures to Google, he can use the Google app.
That's true.
To cast the pictures right from, you know, the Google Photos.
Right, right, right.
Which is pretty easy. Or another solution is, he says he has a smart TV. He's probably got a USB connection on it. He can put his pictures on flash drives, and most of these TVs will run slideshows for you.
That's absolutely true. Good points. Thanks.
And that's fairly easy to do, too.
Yep. Good points.
So there's possible two solutions for him if they work for him.
Yep.
The other thing is, I have a question. A few weeks back, you mentioned about apps like on your phone that you can't uninstall because they come with the phone.
Yep.
Okay. You're familiar with CCleaner, obviously.
Yep.
They have a mobile version. And I noticed in there that it lists all your system apps and does allow you to uninstall them. But it comes up with this warning that says, you know, uninstalling system apps can, you know, cause problems, blah, 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 blah. What is your take on something like that?
Well, I completely agree with them. The problem with a lot of these built-in apps, what we call bloatware, is that they're in firmware, and so you cannot delete them.
Mm-hmm.
You can sometimes disable them. In fact, if you go into your Android phone and go through it all, you can disable some of them. But I have a problem with, for example, Samsung's calendar. It keeps coming up and saying, you're not using me, basically. And I keep saying, yeah, I'm using Google's calendar. Shut up. And then it goes away for a couple of days, and then it comes back. There's no way to remove it from the system because it's in firmware.
Okay. Well, because like I said, if I'm in CCleaner now and I go to System Apps and I go to, say, let me see. There's a CNN app on here on my Samsung.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I go in and I tell it to uninstall, and it says, hang on, removing system apps can cause issues. Before you know what you're doing when using this feature, it says continue, then it will allow you to uninstall it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Do you think that would be safe, or do you think I should avoid
it? You could do it, but then probably when you turn around, the system's going to update the operating system.
Have a backup, just in
case. It'll put it back there.
Okay.
Right. And in addition, I agree. You don't know from one phone system to another what will be safe and what will not be safe. Because I don't know how they installed all that stuff on your machine, mm-hmm. whether it's actually in firmware and cannot be removed, if there are hooks into the firmware, and if you leave the hooks dangling, you've got a problem, or if it's perfectly safe to remove. I don't know.
Okay, gotcha.
All I know is my Google phone, that's one thing I love about it, didn't come with all that bloatware on it.
You got the Pixel?
Yep.
Yeah.
Pixel XL, and it came just about bare. You have to load just about everything that you want on it other than the Chrome. You know, I mean, the Chrome browser was there, and I put on the Google, you know, a calendar program in the mail.
Right.
And
theoretically, there's a version 2 of the Pixel phone coming out this year, and I'm going to wait for that. Save up my shekels.
There you go. But it is, I mean, the camera and everything else, I can't say enough good things about the phone. And, like, you don't have to put up, I don't have to put up with all the bloatware, you know, and delete it and
right.
then turn around and have it come back.
Right.
That's
right.
what's going to happen, Mark.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Right. Yep.
And speaking of Samsung, did you see the new commercials they're running for their toughest safety battery testing ever?
Yeah.
Why weren't you doing that before, I guess?
So, you know, we've spent a lot of time trying to find new battery technology. There's a new battery technology that charges super fast, has a higher energy density than any other battery ever, and doesn't use any sort of liquid electrolyte, so it can't short out. It was made by the guy who invented the lithium battery, and he's 90-plus years old.
Yep. Did you watch that battery thing with David Pogue on Nova that we were talking about on
Second
Life?
No, I've got it on my list of things to watch.
They talk about
actually
that.
Working.
The lithium battery problem originally was lithium anode, and
right.
it reacted too well, so they had to make a lithium ion, which basically it's a checkerboard of lithium. So
basically slows it down.
Slows it down, right. but then it's still, it's like a growing crystal. And so as your battery charges and discharges, these little crystals grow, and the little arms will eventually reach over and touch the cathode. So the anode and cathode will touch, short out, and explode. And that's, you know, why the batteries explode and the electrolytes are flammable. So there's a later generation that the laptops are using now called lithium polymer, and it uses a different type of filler in the lithium atoms. There's a new battery coming, and this Nova episode with David Pogue talked about it. It's lithium polymer polymer electrolyte.
Yeah,
and it's non-flammable. It doesn't explode. The little crystals don't grow, so it works much more efficiently. And now we can go back to pure lithium and
right.
not lithium ion. And so the batteries are going to be able to get smaller and have a much higher density and virtually eliminate the exploding battery problem with this polymer electrolyte. And the guy that invented this, I forget what school it was at, that's going to be the next huge battery revolution.
Yeah. So before we get back to the phones, I'm on our Twitter feed. And, you know, it suggests who you should follow.
Mm-hmm.
It suggests I follow Bill Gates. What do you think?
Nice.
Where are you following him to?
Oh, exactly. But I think I'm going to follow him. The Soundbites Twitter feed is now following Bill
Gates.
Maybe
come on as a guest?
Yeah, maybe he'll come on as a guest. That would be good.
Donate to the station?
Yeah, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Make him become a member.
Exactly. Make him buy the station.
Yeah.
And just let us run it.
Yeah.
That would, no. We already have Rob. I don't know
if yeah.
we would do it better.
Well, on Second Life last week, we talked a little bit about one of the things that he has says recently is that we should tax robots as if they were people. Because one of the problem situation we're having now is Social Security is being defunded by, you know, not enough people paying into it, and the problem of lost jobs. And so if you treat your robot as an employee and pay into the system as you would a real employee, that might help.
Makes sense.
And the shift in job training now, the robots can do all the menial labor. And so we were talking about this at work, too. When I was a kid, I remember all of my father's friends complaining about, you know, piecework on the assembly line.
Right.
And everyone hated that. And that's why it moved away in the 80s and 90s and went overseas.
Right.
And now we don't have the capability to do that anymore. And that's why a lot of the things are assembled overseas. And plants that are being built here have a lot of automation in it. Governor Cuomo talked about that in one of his speeches recently, where he went to an engine assembly company in Lackawanna, and it's robots everywhere. And every 20 feet, there's a guy programming the robot, or a person, I should say. And so retraining and training for the jobs that will exist is all the high tech stuff. It's the menial labor's gone. The joke, when I was a kid, at least, was we'll always need people to dig ditches. No, now we need people that know how to run the backhoe.
You're right.
That digs the ditch. And so the low income menial jobs have all moved overseas, and it's the sort of the complaint about bringing manufacturing back here that most people don't want to do that.
Right.
And it's easier to sit
back.
Well,
people want you to. Companies don't want to. And that is also an issue. We're seeing one of the unintended consequences of raising the minimum wage is that people are now being replaced with more and more automation.
Mm-hmm. And companies are holding back on hiring more people because
they want automation.
Well, because the minimum wage has gone up, and so now their exposure is higher. And a lot of people don't realize this, that your job at the company you work for, say your salary is $20,000. You cost the company $40,000.
Right.
By the time you add taxes and benefits, mm-hmm, and Social Security payments and disability
vacation
payments. Vacation payments. And so raising the minimum wage, that was one of the
office space, electricity, blah, 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 blah.
That was one of the big criticisms when they talked about raising the minimum wage, is that companies just won't hire more people because they can't afford it.
Right.
If anything, it could cost, if it was forced upon them, could actually cause more layoffs.
Right.
But then on the other side, people working minimum wage, you need to work two or three minimum wage jobs to afford the apartment you're trying to rent.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we are never going to solve that problem.
It's a double-edged sword.
But maybe we can solve problems for Pat from Batavia. Welcome, Pat. What's up?
Well, actually, Nick, I'm here to help you solve one of your problems.
Oh, perfect. Thanks, Pat. Go.
Steve, I pulled up the link at the top of the page. It's really funny because I'm watching your video or watching the live on YouTube, and it's out of sync with our conversation, so I'm going to look away.
Yeah.
I noticed that it is unlisted, which means that the only way you'll be able to see it is if you have the link.
Right.
And that's why it doesn't search.
Okay.
So
where do
you
I
have
make
to
it
do, and I can't tell you, are you still using the OBS software?
Yes, OBS with YouTube Live.
Yeah, I think in the YouTube settings, there is an option for how you want it to be public or private or unlisted.
I've seen that after the fact, but I've never seen it before.
Yeah, I see under stream options, it says enable DVR, and it says make archive unlisted when complete.
Which is unchecked, so it's not an unlisted stream.
Well, you know what? I got to tell you, last week's show still hasn't shown up in the Soundbites channel, which makes me think that it's still unlisted.
Well, thanks. That's something to check on. We'll definitely will.
All right. We'll check on that. Thanks.
Thank you. Look under in the YouTube and video manager when you're looking at the old shows, but that only helps the past. And until you figure where that box is to check for the future ones, it's still going to come out unlisted. So you just have to, if you post the link at the top. The other thing, Nick, real quick, have you tried the Chrome Vox with your eyes closed?
No.
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 So that'll be my challenge.
Yep. Let us know how that goes.
All right. No, I want you to do it.
Oh, I'll give it a shot. I absolutely will. Thanks.
Fair enough. All right. And I will too then.
Thanks, okay? Pat. Yep.
All right. We'll see you guys.
Have fun. Yeah. Chrome Vox is a built-in.
Ooh, I found it.
Oh.
Under advanced options.
There you go.
Public.
The Chrome Vox is a built-in feature in the Chromebooks or Chrome boxes that is essentially a screen reader. Now you have to you have to enable it.
Could I ask you?
But once you've enabled it, you're good to go. So that's pretty cool. And it's built in, and once you in settings, you have to enable it. But once you've enabled it, then I forget what the keystroke is, but I can find it in just a moment. ChromeVox. Control-Alt-Z toggles the ChromeVox, which is spoken feedbacks on and off. It worked.
No, it shows in our stream as a live broadcast.
Excellent.
How did that? Thank you. What was his name again?
Pat from Batavia.
Pat from Batavia. Thank you. I don't know how that got set to unlisted, but
now who knows?
Now it's listed.
Now it's listed, so we're back online, and it's all good. Very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. You're okay. I don't care what anybody says. this is great. This is great.
I'm going to go back and check the previous ones to see if those are still. He said he couldn't see the previous ones.
Yeah, it's the previous one. Well, maybe whatever. But, yeah, we'll see. All right, excellent. Very nice. Very, very nice. Looks like we're going to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Mina Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites, and we are the truly great and truly grateful to be member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we have Ed from Rochester, New York on the line. What's up, Ed?
Hi, guys. I just want to ask a question that maybe sounds stupid, but on the desktop, you know, in the upper left-hand corner, there's an arrow that says left to right, and you just click on it with your mouse, and the page goes forward or backwards. On an Android cell phone I got, is that possible? Reason being, I was typing an email within somebody's page yesterday, and the phone kind of slipped, and I grabbed it by the button there, that the right hand side where the arrow goes back, and it was one of these oops things. When I tried to get that to go back to the other page, and it did, but it was blank. I had to start all over again. I don't know if there's this is a Galaxy Luna. It's not a $700 phone. Maybe you got to buy one of those, so it'll do it. But can you do the same thing on the phone?
Well, you do something similar
on the desktop.
You can do something similar. If you now don't try anything yet, just listen to this whole thing. If you were to put your finger on the page itself and sort of pull down, it reloads the page. But if up at the top where the address is, if you were to pull down on that, it shows a list of all the pages you've been on.
Right.
And so you can kind of scroll through those and see what and pick a different page.
You mean it's that's the open tabs you're saying? Is that the same thing where you have?
It's essentially It's essentially like open tabs, only instead of actually being open tabs, it's a series of pages, one behind the other, and you can pick the one you want.
Okay, so you just would X out the ones until you got the one you want, and then you didn't have to start all over with another email and try to remember what you wrote. Is that correct?
Well, theoretically, I mean, it depends on 100 circumstances, but yes.
Oh, okay.
And if your email program autosaves.
I thought maybe it would automatically put in drafts or in spam or trash. It wasn't in any of those, and I thought, oh, geez, I got to start all over again.
Yeah, it probably depends on the email program.
You just pull it down from the top, and it'll show you all the tabs that are open, essentially, correct?
Yes.
Okay, my man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Yep. Fun. Have fun. There's a bunch of different things that you can do that are kind of hidden on any phone operating system unless you know what you're looking at, mainly because you just don't have the same amount of real estate and not the paradigms, but the way you do things.
The quarters
are different. The what?
And that the paradigm's the quarters?
The quarters, the pair of quarters. Yeah. Two bits.
Yep. One of the things I've always found annoying and sometimes in Gmail is Gmail's really nice about saving drafts for you. But sometimes I'll end up with dozens of drafts of the same message. And sometimes it doesn't delete the draft when you actually send the message. So I'll go back and say there's a draft in my folder from a week ago. Did I really send that or did it not send? Because I thought I sent it a week ago.
Right.
And it wasn't deleted from the drafts folder when it should have been.
Right. We're seeing that a lot too. And it's no system is perfect. And I do get that. And it annoys us when they're not. But no system is perfect because oddly, and this comes as a shock to many people, they're written by humans. And so the humans often have an issue that can't be solved as easily as one might like. But
I, for one, welcome the coming of our robot overlords.
Right, because once they...
Everything will be logical and straightforward.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, all right, here's Sea Cleaner. I'm looking at that Sea Cleaner program now. Oh, look at that. It tells me how much storage I've used, how much RAM I have left. This is nice. I can analyze my device. Very cool. Very, very cool. I like this. Thanks, Mark. This is a good show. I never thought to look if Sea Cleaner was available for the phone.
Hmm.
Very cool.
Nice. All kinds of new stuff.
Oh, yeah, constantly.
People often ask me how I learn things and, you know, how do I know all this stuff? Well, part of it is the show and
people
call in and tell us. There's two things we learned today. That unlisted button and Sea Cleaner for Android.
Yep.
Well, that's the thing.
It's a good week for us.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. More and more things, like I was saying before. You know, I see more and more laptops come into the shop than I do desktops.
Yep.
Because everybody is going to the laptop. They want the portability.
Even though they don't need portability.
Yeah, but right. They still like the convenience to having something small. And they can move around if they want to, you know, take it out to the front porch or upstairs or wherever they're going through their wireless networks because, you know, they're getting so cheap as to buy a big box and be tied to it there that you got to sit in a chair.
Yep.
If you want to grab your laptop and go sit in the couch.
But let me tell you two things. First, be wary of cheap laptops.
Oh, definitely.
There are two things about cheap laptops. One is their hardware is cheap, which means that it may not last you the 5 or 7 or 10 years you tend to keep a laptop. And secondly, many cheap laptops will give you an extremely unsatisfactory experience under Windows 10. Windows 10 requires a minimum of 4 gig of RAM, and it requires a minimum of a 2 gigahertz processor.
And you should really double those.
And you should double those. And if you're not, if you're looking at a minimum size system, it might run great with Cloud Ready or it might run great with Linux, but it is going to run like junk with Windows 10, but everybody's going to want to put Windows 10
on it. And the other thing with those shared, those small, cheaper laptops is that they share the memory with the video card. Instead of having a dedicated graphics card, it takes some of the memory that's in the system to use that to do all your video and surfing and everything else as far as the video part.
That's right. And that's why I often suggest to people you buy a desktop to put all your big stuff on.
Mm-hmm.
Because why are you spending that $300 or $400 extra for stuff just for the portability?
Yep.
Right? And then if you want something to carry around, buy a Chromebook.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't use Photoshop on it. Do you really go sit in a park and run Photoshop? Or do you sit at your desk and run it anyway?
Yeah.
So buy a machine that'll run it faster with a bigger, nicer screen that altogether costs you less. And when you're out and about, what you're mostly doing is web browsing or writing or something else. You can do all of that on something like a Chromebook and save yourself a bucket load of cash.
And they do have apps and programs in there to do photo editing.
I haven't used Photoshop in 2 years.
Yeah.
I use other programs
instead. Yeah, there's so many others that are just as good and cheaper and will do give you the same results.
And excuse me, even Adobe, they've got Photoshop.
You all right there?
Yeah, Photoshop. Fairball? Yeah, Photoshop Touch is out for the iPad. I don't know if they have an Android version. I would assume they do. Photoshop Lightroom for tablets. And so you don't need the whole giant $700 Photoshop program on your portable devices. In fact, many people don't even need that on their big device.
Right.
But there are a lot of alternatives on smaller devices. We are seeing in our store more and more people are now buying the desktop and the tablet.
Yep.
So they have big screen, lots of power, and portable.
Yep.
For less than you would pay for a big, powerful laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you absolutely must have a keyboard for when you carry it around, get a Chromebook.
Most tablets have keyboard options or keyboards
right.
built
it
in.
It depends on how much you like the keyboard.
Yeah.
Never buy anything that you haven't tested the keyboard on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a desktop, not as important. You can always buy a new keyboard. And it's a lot cheaper than buying a new device.
Right.
But in terms of a portable, whether it's a Chromebook or a tablet of some sort, doesn't matter. Play with the keyboard because otherwise you don't know.
Right? Well, we are looking at maybe replacing the laptop I'm using now because it's a 2012 model, getting a little old. For all the stream, especially the video streaming, audio streaming, all that stuff we're doing on it. So, of course, the one I want to buy is, $4,000.
Sure, of course it is.
The one we'll probably will buy is, less than half that.
Yeah. At least.
Yeah.
If not more.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's of course part of the issue in general. You know, with the new Chromebooks coming out, they are going to be more expensive if you buy the ones that have touch screens and the foldable screens.
I want the Chromebook Pixel that has the super high res and touch screen. And well, that's $3,000, right?
Yeah. Also, Google is not going to make the Pixel Chromebooks anymore.
Well, they have a Pixel phone now.
They have a Pixel phone,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they said from the very beginning that the Pixel Chromebook was a reference model, just like the original CR48 Chromebook, which I do have, is a reference model. It was never designed to be something that they were going to make a permanent product.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was that we want to show you what can be done with this device. And now that Chromebooks are so accepted and so many other people are building them, Google can get out of that business.
Yep.
They don't need to be there. They are going to stick with the phone, and we'll be seeing, like I said, a version 2 of the Pixel phone.
What are they touting that's going to be on the next version?
They don't know yet. I mean, they just said that before the end of the year, there will be a Pixel 2 phone.
Okay.
Better camera.
The camera on it now is,
Pixel camera is the best cell phone camera on the market, bar none.
Mm-hmm.
And that's from reviews by photography magazines.
Yeah.
Now, it's still not a Leica or, a high-end Nikon or whatever.
Yeah, but for
that's not the point.
Yeah, my photos, that's fine.
Right. It is the finest cell phone camera on the market today.
Well, the battery life, too, is great on it. It charges fast. It uses now the new standard of the C connector.
Right.
Most of your connectors that are on your Android devices are what they call the B. But the C gives it the capabilities to charge a lot faster.
And C's reversible, so there's no fumbling. The first way didn't work, the second way didn't work, but the third way works to get it in.
Exactly. Yeah. Either way, you just plug it in, and it charges fast.
Yep.
And like I say, it's very clean. It doesn't have all the bloatware and everything else on there. I had to...
And if you're one of those people who wants Google Fi,
yeah,
then that's the phone for you.
Mm-hmm.
Google Fi, for those of you who don't know.
What about Fi and Fo? Are they coming?
Fi, Fo, and Fum.
No, Fum's coming later.
Yeah, Fum's coming later. No Fum for you.
He called ahead.
He called ahead on his Google Fi phone. Google Fi is their cell phone network, only it mostly runs over Wi-Fi. So if you run, if you're sitting at home or in an office or somewhere like that, you use your Wi-Fi network to make phone calls. If you're out, it switches seamlessly, apparently, between Sprint and, I think, T-Mobile.
And my T-Mobile phone does that now.
Yeah.
If I'm on Wi-Fi, it uses it. That way, it doesn't run up your minutes.
Yep. The beautiful thing about this is everything is $10. It's $10 to get the service, $10 to add unlimited text and data, $10 per gig of data.
Mm-hmm.
It ends up being cheaper than most other data plans.
Yeah.
On top of everything else. So it looks pretty cool.
That guy from Verizon right now has been doing the ads for Sprint.
Yeah.
Because
all the networks are so close together now that price is what really differentiates. And do you hear what Ajit Pai said? The jerk.
What?
So Ajit Pai is the new chairman of the FCC. He is taking credit for all of the unlimited plans coming to carriers.
Well, good for him.
Even though they started doing that before he
yes.
took office.
Well, that's of a piece with this administration.
What may be more to his credit, I guess is not quite the right word, is he canceled the investigations into zero rating.
Right.
Because he said we didn't need that and internet should be free. But he didn't understand it. So like T-Mobile had these free video things. So you can get, you know, just for example, you can get Twitch video for free. Well, that sounds good. But you have to pay extra for YouTube video. But they never say that.
Yeah.
So right. A lot of the carriers have this free video. If you're using the right video service, it doesn't count towards your data cap.
Right.
For every other video service, it does. And so what if that had happened when YouTube was being created? And
right.
YouTube would never exist today. So we want right. zero. We don't want the carriers to discriminate.
Right.
Even so if it looks good.
That's what we used to call net neutrality.
Yeah.
And that's been suspended. So.
And the FCC has now stopped their investigation into the companies doing what they were calling zero rating, and we were calling anti-net neutrality, because they are giving some services priority and benefit over a different service.
Right, exactly right. And so we're seeing
that
everywhere.
Yeah, I canceled that, and they gave us unlimited data now. Isn't me good?
Yeah, right.
No, Mr. Pie, no.
No, Mr. Pie, no. Although everybody's doing unlimited data now, so
right.
that's interesting.
Well, and then the joke there is it's unlimited asterisks.
Yeah, it's
so
unlimited asterisks.
Unlimited asterisks. If you get to a limit, between 22 and 26 gigs, depending on your carrier, they can slow you down to modem speeds.
Right.
They may not, but they can.
But they certainly may. And that is less likely to happen, frankly, to be honest. That is much less likely to happen in Rochester than
right.
it is in New York City or San Francisco.
New York, San Francisco, the big carriers, when things get congested, your service will slow down. But they didn't stop.
Yeah, right. They
which
didn't
means
stop.
It is unlimited.
Yes, it is unlimited. Just not at a speed you can use.
Yeah.
But it is unlimited. And a lot of people are going to it. It is not obviously necessarily cheaper. But it is certainly useful, and a lot of people are doing it. We'll see how that plays out over the next couple of years, but we don't know. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. In the meantime, give us a call, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 39 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Joel from Pittsford on the line. What's up, Joel?
Hi, guys. Just going to get a clarification. I'm sorry if this may have been covered earlier. I can't get to hear you all live until about 1:30 every day. But I was teaching a class this week on Windows 10, and just after I mentioned that Microsoft is going to support Windows 10 for 10 years from the date of its inception, one of my students said she had heard on this show last week someone saying that Microsoft was going to start a subscription fee for Windows 10. I was wondering if you guys had some information that I may have missed.
Well, it's not a subscription for Windows 10. It's a subscription for the next version of Windows.
Right.
That
okay.
probably won't have a number, but we'll call it
yeah.
11.
They're just going to call it right. Windows.
Now, two things. Windows 10 was released in July of 2015. It is true that extended support for Windows 10 will be till 2025, which is 10 years.
Yeah, just like all the other previous versions.
Well, yes, except that extended support means you're paying for it. Mainstream support, the free stuff you get now, ends in 2020, 5 years mm-hmm. later. So, yes, they will support it for 10 years, but for those last 5 years, you have to pay. And we're talking about businesses paying thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, 2020 sounds so far away, but it's only 3 years.
It's only 3 years left
yeah.
in that. So, no, Windows will not be supported for the average user for 10 years. That is a simple fact. Windows will be supported for 10 years, yes, but not for you.
I thought extended support meant they would put out critical updates
They may put out critical updates.
Nothing stated in writing.
If they want to, they absolutely will, but that doesn't necessarily mean anything, particularly now that they're talking about going to a subscription service for the next version of Windows.
Yeah.
If you want to update Windows, in fact, if you want to keep running Windows, you keep paying them. If you stop paying them, we don't know the details yet, but
that may apply to the next version of Windows, not to Windows 10.
Right. You can keep Windows 10 for as long as you like. It won't be supported anymore, but apparently the people still running Vista don't care.
And the same people running Windows 7.
Yep.
Right.
So they're not getting critical patches. You have to rely on third-party AV companies to release updates, and even those, I have stopped supporting XP, and many of them don't support 7 anymore.
Right.
Actually, it's interesting. A lot of them don't support Vista, but they still support 7.
Yeah, right.
Everyone hated Vista.
Everybody hated Vista. They'll still say, yeah. So, yes and no. You know, a little knowledge, dangerous thing. So Windows 10 will be supported for 10 years if you're paying for extended support.
And that's only generally for very large companies.
And if there is something truly egregious, they will put out a general fix for it.
But we've already seen
7 in previous versions.
Yeah. No.
Thank you. I appreciate that. My student must have misunderstood.
Well, everybody hears a little piece of everything, right? Nobody ever hears the whole thing. Right. So,
okay,
yeah.
Well, all
right.
Thanks a lot, guys, and I am a member.
I love to hear that. Thank you.
Okay.
And we have already seen now that Microsoft has put out critical updates for all versions of Windows supported.
Right.
Which means that it probably exists in the previous versions of Windows, but they're not patching it.
Right.
And some of the last couple, I don't remember them offhand, we talked about it on Security Now, some of the last couple of really horrible Windows updates. In fact, the reason the Windows update this month was late was some horrible
thing they had to fix. Absolutely.
That they won't fix in Vista and 7 and XP and anything else. And if you're watching the video stream, sorry, we just had an earthquake.
Yeah.
The earth moved and the camera tipped over.
The earth moved for days.
Thank you very much.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ellen from Greece, New York. Hi, Ellen, what's up?
Hi, gentlemen. Really enjoyed listening to your show, even though I know very little about computers. So I have a couple of very basic questions. I'm not interested in doing anything complicated, just the usual things like Facebook, email, Google, games. And I'm looking to get a new computer. Why do you promote Chrome above all the others?
For several reasons. It depends. Well, don't let me end this phone call without talking about games. But there are several reasons we like Chromebooks. One, Chromebooks are inexpensive but powerful. Two, they don't get viruses or malware or any of that stuff. And three, if you do get it stolen or broken, they're very easy to replace because everything lives in the cloud. Now, with a Chromebook, you can do Facebook, you can do email, you can do Google. The sticker is games. We've already talked to Sherry earlier today about Chromebooks and Pogo games, and the fact that for a lot of Pogo games, they are in a language called Flash, and Flash does not work on Chromebooks because Flash is so full of security holes.
Okay. Well, the games are something optional for me anyway. I don't do it. How much do they cost?
It depends. You can get them for as low as $189 and as much as $500, depending on what you get and you know, where you get it and when you get it. Right now, if you were interested in spending a little more money, you would be able to wait for about a month, month and a half. And they are coming out with new versions of Chromebooks that will also run Android applications, so Android apps, right? The stuff you get on your phone. So we'll run those. They will have touch screens, and those screens will fold over backwards so the thing becomes a tablet. Now, as you can well imagine, those are at the higher end of the price range, whereas if you just want a laptop that opens up and you type and you do all that stuff, that's at the lower end of the range.
And what did you say that range was?
Anywhere from about $189 to about $500.
And when you talked about cheap laptops before, you weren't talking about Chromebooks.
No, I was talking about there is a company that's advertised that isn't for sale yet, a $200 Windows 10 laptop. I cannot imagine. I've asked them to send me one. I don't think they will, but I've asked them to send me one. I can't imagine it's going to be particularly useful. You really need a lot of RAM and a fast processor and a fast hard drive in order to run Windows 10 satisfactorily. And frankly, that's not going to be something you can buy for $200.
Okay. And where again did you say I could get Chromebooks?
Most of the big box stores have that.
Yeah, okay. You can go to any of the big stores right now.
You can also go to google.com/Chromebooks.
But if you want to do a test drive on one, go to, like, say, a Best Buy or Staples or one of those places and test it out.
Okay, last question. Mm-hmm. When I read AARP magazine, what do you think of the wow computers they always advertise?
Well, see, they're, you know, again, they're almost...
They're very expensive.
Yeah, and...
Wow. Maybe that's why.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what's in them, and, you know, without seeing the particulars, you know, who knows what...
What they're advertising is that they're very, very easy to use for us seniors.
Right. And yeah. Often what that means is they've put their own front end on it.
Mm-hmm.
And made a little bit of a different front end, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But I have not played with one.
Mm-hmm.
But they have big screens and they're touch screens and et cetera, et cetera. So if you're willing to live within their universe.
Okay.
Right. Whatever their video chat is, whatever their email is, whatever their calendar is.
Okay.
If you're willing to live within that universe, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
So it's not running Windows. It's not running Chrome. It's not running Mac.
Right. It's running its own thing. So
although it looks exactly like an iMac.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Well, yeah. They all do nowadays. So yeah.
Well, right. When we called to inquire, the price on it, they didn't have different models, but the price on it was over $1,000, and that was supposedly with a couple $100 break.
Yeah, well, of course, it's a very large screen, and it's a touchscreen.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, those are not cheap.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that would be the thing I would buy. If it were about half that price, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But at that price, I'm not entirely certain.
You can get
certain.
A few good Chromebooks for that price.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right, thank you.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
It kind of looks like the font on screen is bigger than average. Typically, you know, seniors.
Yeah, for seniors, to be a little larger.
Right. I love the idea.
Yeah. It's like Web TV used to be. It was supposed to be a cheap little box that you got web pages on your TV.
Right.
That didn't work out very well.
Right. And a lot of that, of course, as we said, has to do with the execution, not the concept.
Right? Oh, it uses TinyCore Linux underneath.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not a bad idea, actually.
So you could make your own from an old hardware you already have.
Yeah, right.
Well, and that's sort of what Cloud Ready from Neverware does.
Right.
It turns your old computer into a new Linux box with modern operating system and modern software on it.
Right.
And that music is back.
The music is back. Apparently, we are done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I want to apologize to all of those of you to whom we did not get really call earlier and more often next week. But we are done for this week.
Somebody called before the show started. They listened to you. Very good idea. Early and often. Yeah.
Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael's here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known and unknown universe. For Dave Enright, for Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. And we will see you in just 166 hours on Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.